was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Yes, my friend, there's a riot going on right here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to Take No Prisoners. We're the featured act every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and thank you for joining me. Our number tonight for your questions about the beneficiaries in common payment method is 1-800-313-9443. If you're interested in attending the 5-day Comprehensive Law Merchants Leadership Conference on August 2nd through August 6th, or you'd like to order the Rockland, Massachusetts seminar that we're recommending for those who have signed up for the conference, please send an email without any attachments, please, to Roberta T, R-O-B-E-R-T-A-T, at hush.com. You'll want to concentrate, if you order Rockland, you'll want to concentrate on the comprehensive administrative processes and the 17 enforcement strategies in folder number 4 as precursors and evolutionary to the BIC process. And that should give you a good foundation for the ambitious curriculum that we'll be covering at the conference. Any other comments you have about the program or questions, please address to me personally at takenoprisoners@hush.com. Well, friends, another Sunday night has rolled around. It's May 20th, and we have an extravagant program filled with guests and callers and the latest state-of-the-art technology as we continue our step-by-step dissection of the BIC technology as it applies to the most provocative question in the freedom movement. How do you rescue an innocent former surety from prison, from the debtor's warehouse, or from probation? As we hold that conversation, I'm hoping that we use it to clarify the stage one procedures that we discussed last week for presenting BIC instruments to the various policing agencies, for recalling appearance bonds and electronic bracelets. And then we'll move the discussion full steam into the stage two hellfire enforcement strategies, beginning with two strategies that I think are really essential to have under our belts and understand, the first being treasury liquidation. I know many of you have tried it, but most of you, from what I see, have tried it improperly, or at least improperly for the standard that we have established now. And we'll also take a look at the use of bankruptcy actions to achieve set-off and monetization, and that's a very important subject. We touched on the subject last week, but it's of great value to all those folks who have written me over the last couple of weeks saying, Sam, we'd like to attend the conference or otherwise find a way to learn BIC, but we're under the gun right now. We have a foreclosure. They're coming to kick us out of our home next week, or this is happening or that's happening. And for all those folks who are under pressure or who are jammed up, a bankruptcy action is quick to file and can be very potent in putting things on hold, whether it's temporary or permanently. Folks, before we begin, I promised you in an email I sent out earlier this week that I would share with you some of the BIC successes unfolding before our eyes as public officials come to understand the risks associated with having their bonds seized for failure to honor payment. And I will honor that promise to you right after the break. So please join me in three. This is Dr. Sam Kennedy, and you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. The call-in number tonight is 800-313-9443. Folks, thanks for being with us tonight. As I promised, let me bring you up to speed as best I can at this point with some of the very interesting developments that we've had. I'd like to start very briefly with an email that came in this week from someone who attended April's Law Merchant Leadership Conference. And here's what he said. Sam, I also wanted to thank you once again for your extraordinary efforts in bringing us the seminar and your knowledge. Well, folks, I'm blushing on that one. My apologies. After completing the BIC process, both matters with our sons, in parenthesis, felonies. By the way, we read an email from this person once before. That was when the police officers drove into their driveway because one of the sons didn't stop 10 feet away from the house when the police lights went on behind him. He pulled into his own driveway and they arrested him for eluding police pursuit. Imagine that. And then they arrested the brother for coming out to say, what's going on? Both young kids. So this person writes, after completing the BIC process, both matters with our sons, felonies, have come to a halt, and they never appeared in court. In other words, folks, the private settlement worked. What's best is that the police cars do not come down our street any longer or position themselves like spiders waiting to catch innocent kids and steal their earnings. Even the parking enforcement has stopped driving down our street. Before, it was very restrictive, with parking tickets freely given on a daily basis. I wonder if it could have something to do with the fact that I bonded them. In other words, this party, these parties, these parents, issued indemnity bonds naming the city, the police department, the officers, the chief of police, presumably the statutes, and the charges, the case numbers against their sons as accounts and account holders on the indemnity bonds they issued to the Department of Treasury. And then after they issued the full BIC instruments that we discussed last week, the indemnity bond to Treasury, 35 days later, in this case they did it 4 days later, the offset bond to Treasury, then they issued a promissory note or notes to various parties that were named on the indemnity bond directly. And 10 days later, when they failed to respond to those notes, when they failed to credit the payment, they performed a Treasury liquidation process using an old method updated to make sure that it's done properly, which we'll review later in the program, and these cases were never heard from again. One of these was a case where the judge sent them a handwritten letter that said, here's the ticket, it's $100-some-odd fine, please take care of it, don't show up in court. Those are some of the things we're seeing. Judges begging people, don't come to court. Imagine that. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be put in a situation where I can't even hold you in contempt. Folks, we've seen many remarkable things. We've seen cases disappear entirely. We've seen agencies on more than one occasion call to say, I'm on it. I received your bonded promissory note. We're processing it. Please don't do anything further. And that's after they received three-day notices of offers of immunity or other notices advising them that Treasury liquidation and other processes would follow. We've seen whole case files disappear. Now, believe it or not, we've seen files destroyed purportedly in floods and fires, more than one of those. I kid thee not. And I'm not going to say that that's necessarily because of our situation, but one after the other, in one colorable fashion after another, we see successes being racked up because they must find a colorable public solution when we have created the private remedy. And when we are wielding joint beneficiaries on instruments that require them to either convert, to either credit and post the payment to the account and ledger it to a zero or positive balance, or convert and accept the liability for the theft of public funds in the Admiralty, it's the most potent position that we've ever seen in the freedom movement. And in my opinion, for what it's worth, that's why we're seeing situation after situation play out in this manner. The problem that you have is you've been so used to absorbing defeats and judges who are intransigent, judges who are ignorant, who don't know the liability that they're incurring, who don't know that their pockets aren't that deep, who are used to qualified immunity but who have no immunity once they've accepted liability. And because of this, and I guess I'm not alone in seeing the beauty of BIC, especially in judicial cases where the court is under a public mandate to transfer funds to Treasury, and then they're holding a private instrument that names Treasury as a co-beneficiary, I'm not surprised that groups all over the world who are harnessing their God-given skills and marshaling their determination are finding themselves able to bring group mentality and group strength to bear for the first time in the history of the group. And that includes groups that go back 20 and 25 years. And we're all gathering under this banner that I call BIC, using the teeth of the BIC process to lend the strength and the leverage to the administrative processes as we've developed them. I'm not alone in that. Many people, many of you out there are real specialists in administrative process. But together now, I think we have we've caught on to the tail of the beast, and we're slowly clawing our way up to its neck. So thank you. You know, you have my great appreciation and gratitude for joining me in this effort. There are thousands of you around the world I can report who are pursuing this with vim and vigor, and that's why we're seeing all of the successes that I can report to you today. And I'll have more to report in the future. One caution, of course, as I like to say in every program, this program is dedicated to your entertainment. Please do not go off half-cocked and get yourself into trouble using slivers of information. And certainly don't get your family and friends injured by attempting to empower them with what turns out to be weapons of self-destruction disguised as morsels of information. We do not supply you with legal advice, and you would be wise not to supply others with legal advice. Once you're skilled in BIC, I'm encouraging comprehensive mentoring, and that's why I'm encouraging everyone who can find his way to Albany, New York, and every party, every group out there that can mobilize as a group, pool your resources, send one or two representatives. It is my pleasure, my privilege, to be able to train leaders to take this technology back in a mentoring fashion as opposed to an injurious fashion. So, friends, let's get on with it. Did anybody by chance see on the news this week a little item about the Seneca Indian Nation? The Seneca, New York State has had some very inventive Native American organizations, nations actually, over the years. And I was actually a party to one of those many years ago. Maybe we'll spend another program talking about that. But the Native Americans are not afraid to mobilize as a group and enforce their treaties. Nonetheless, sometimes the corporate state of New York attempts to undermine that. I'm sure other states do as well. And a situation like that is unfolding right here in New York State, where the Seneca Indian Nation was protesting in the vicinity of the New York State Thruway, which is one of the east-to-west major state thoroughfares across the nation, Highway 90. And I was privileged to see a person that I presume was the chief of the nation or one of the elders on the air being interviewed on a news program stating that if the state of New York, he said New York, indicating he's not aware of the difference between New York and the state of New York as you are, but if New York is not careful, that they will erect toll booths on the thruway, and they will do that by the power of the commercial lien. And he said, remember, we have tribal courts. Now, I don't know how many, I'm sure many people looked at that on television, and their immediate instinct was, oh, those lousy Indians, who do they think they are? Well, excuse me, folks, those were the original inhabitants of the American continent. That's who they are. And they know more about who they are than most United States default citizens know about who they are. So I suggest that you might want to check out this news story online, and if you know of any Native American disputes in your state or close to you, that you might want to approach the tribal council or the chief or any of the elders on the reservation. Just drive right on. Thank them for the inexpensive gasoline and cigarettes, shake their hands, and tell them, look, I have a great deal of experience with commercial liens. I know how to monetize them, or I know how to develop them and perfect them, and I'd sure love to get together with you folks and have an interesting discussion, because you couple our commercial lien technology with the power of the tribal court, and we might be able to perfect a method in which we could bring our foreign judgments in to the United States courts in a manner that they could not reject. And that opens, think of the millions of possibilities that opens to the creative mind out there. That music means we have a break coming up. We'll be gone for 3 minutes. You're listening to Take No Prisoners, at the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we return, we're going to get right into the BIC technology without further delay.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
You made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Yeah. Welcome back, my friends. Sorry for that brief technical glitch. And you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Friends, if you'd like to join me and folks from all over the world at the 5-day Comprehensive Law Merchants Leadership Conference, maybe I should say, if you'd like to immerse yourself in BIC technology till it's coming out of your nostrils, please send an email to robertat@hush.com. Forgive us, we are swamped. There is so much interest in BIC, especially the comprehensive program, so it may take a day or two to respond. Forgive us. As you know, I'm encouraging groups. I am strongly encouraging groups to pool their resources and send us one or two of your brothers or sisters, and we will equip them with the technology to take back home. Also, if you'd like to order Rockland, just drop a line to robertat@hush.com. And she'll tell you what's involved in securing that. Now, we have so much to cover tonight. I think I'd like to start by hooking up with one of our callers here. Bob, are you on the line?
Yeah, hello, Sam. This is Bob.
Hello, Bob. How are you? Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm doing just great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Now, Bob, you were an attendee at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference in April, right?
That's correct.
Very good. And how are things going since you attended? You, in fact, you presented a case there. We won't go into more detail, but you presented a case during the case presentation laboratory, as I recall.
Yeah, as you remember, my case, it goes back a few years. It started out as a little dispute over some family real estate in another state, and turned into a criminal charges against me, three counts.
Pause right there. Folks, this is not an unusual story, and that's why I always stress to people, don't do anything until you understand what you are doing. Once you can answer your own questions, then perhaps you're ready to make decisions, because what can happen is it only takes one clever attorney to say to his client, you know, let's send him a letter and threaten him with criminal, even though that's against their disciplinary regulations. And the next thing you know, that client goes out. He happens to be an ex-cop or an ex-this or that, and he goes down. He has a friend at the police department. They swear on a warrant for your arrest. Is that pretty much what happened in your case?
That's pretty much it. It's a small rural town, and there's a good old boy club going on there, and I'm not one of the good old boys.
Yeah, well, you're one of the good young boys. So you're at a point now where you've had a resistant judge. You've tried a lot of commerce, and then you came to the conference. And what have you done since or prior to the conference? You and I worked quite closely with emailing back and forth for a few months, as I recall. And you instituted a bunch of BIC instruments, did you not?
That's correct.
What instruments did you put in a brief summary, so people can understand the process?
Initially in February, I attended a hearing and fired the attorney. Prior to that, had the notary issue a silver bond and a subrogation bond.
All right, forget about those items.
Right.
What about after we had some contact? Did you issue any indemnity bonds or offset bonds?
We created a indemnity and discharging bond in early February. I followed it up 3 days later with the offset bond and issued a promissory note the first week of March.
Who did you issue the promissory note to in title terms?
Issued it to the clerk of court, the treasurer of the state, and Henry Merritt.
Oh, very, very good, Bob. Very good. The treasurer of the state.
And then fired off photocopies, stamped copy, to the treasury and to the treasurer of the state with a heads-up letter stating, here's what's out there. It's coming down the pike.
And okay.
You don't hear from this clerk, and then we're going to issue the defaults, which is what I did.
Very good. Now, before we get on to the default, folks, I get this question all the time. In fact, I was discussing it with someone today. One person emailed me today, very troubled, a very nice fellow, and I'm hoping he'll call in. Ron, if you happen to hear us from Florida, please call in. We'd like to talk to you tonight. Ron was concerned about, I've issued this bond in the past and that bond in the past. Now, you've issued a surety bond and a silver bond. And my suggestion, folks, in these situations is, if there's time, redo some of that stuff. You can recall the old issues. How do you recall an old issue? How about a simple notice of rescission that says, due to the fact that you have not sent a settlement statement indicating that you've honored the instrument, it has expired. Just like you would do if someone held a check and you replaced it with another instrument. But the reason I suggest converting over to the BIC instruments is, well, Bob, why don't you take a guess as to what my reasoning would be, why we might want to go to the extra effort of issuing new instruments, including a bonded promissory note?
To turn the clerk of court, judge, or prosecutor into the new certainty.
Okay.
Putting all the liability on them.
What, couldn't you do that with a surety bond or a silver bond if they fail to ledger the payment?
Yeah, I'm sure you could do it that way too, but...
So why am I thinking new instruments? I'll give you a clue. B-I-C.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Insert dollar only, please. Insert $5, pay $10, pay $25 to have your car registered. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, it never stops. We have a big-time commercial ongoing in the state of New York. It's being sponsored by the Department of Transportation, using tax dollars that people paid into the system to threaten them, showing the police blockades. If you're not wearing your seatbelt, we'll get you. Don't you remember when they passed those seatbelt laws and said, oh, we'll never really use them. Just if you get stopped for some other reason, we might piggyback a ticket on. It's for your own protection. So that said, we're talking to Bob, who's a graduate of the Law Merchant Leadership Conference last April, is involved in a heavy-duty case and has had some recent developments that you may want to hear about. Before the break, I posed a question to Bob. Why in a case where a number of previous bonds have been issued, as many of you have issued bills of exchange and promissory notes and surety bonds and surety ship bonds and notices of bonds and silver bonds and bronze bonds and who knows what else, why should we reissue new bonds in a particular case and recall the old ones? And the answer to the question is, Bob, any
beneficiaries in common transfer the liability to the clerk of court and all court officers who could possibly stick it on.
Yes. The point that I'm trying to make, folks, is that no technology that I've ever been exposed to has better potential for converting the liability to the holder in due course and has better leverage for delivering the message to the holder in due course that, buddy, you are in trouble if you try to pretend that this instrument will not be honored. So when we take the time to issue another instrument, let's say a bonded promissory note, where the beneficiaries of the note are specified to be the fiduciary or fiduciaries, which could be a clerk of court or a judge or both or a warrant officer or all of those, you could have a promissory note that's issued to the to a marshal, to the director of the marshal service, to a commissioner, to the head of the Bureau of Prisons, to the district director of the Bureau of Prisons or an agency, I mean, whomever you want, and I like big parties. And in so delivering that instrument, which has the Secretary of the Treasury named as a co-beneficiary, it puts us in the enviable position, especially in a judicial case, of saying, what happened to the $5 million or $10 million or $100 million of public funds that was last seen in your possession? Here's an affidavit of negative averment as your opportunity to disprove the assumption that you stole $5 million of public funds from the special maritime jurisdiction. And that, my friends, is a very enviable position in which to be resting rather than at the bottom of the food chain. So you did that in your case. You issued a number of those instruments. And then what happened?
That's correct. I was threatened that if I didn't attend a psych eval on April 16th, that I would be dragged into court and thrown in jail again. So under protest, I attended the psych eval, issued a bond for $1 million to the forensic center, which they're real happy to get. And that was on April 16th, and I haven't heard a word from the court since, other than hear that the court, district court clerk's office, was flooded in a very convenient rainstorm last weekend.
What happened to your records?
The records, I assume, were destroyed, and the computers that they were kept in were also destroyed.
Well, we might want to find out more about that, don't we? And there are many ways we can do that. Was there any other activity or any orders issued or any directives from the judge or anything like that since you issued those instruments?
The last hearing.
Let me back up on that question. You issued the instruments in April. This is mid-May. What happened after 10 days? You presented the instruments with some kind of fiduciary instructions and perhaps an administrative process presented through the notary, correct?
Correct. Originally, when the promissory note was issued in March, the clerk sent it back with a letter saying, if you want this sent to Henry Paulson, send it yourself.
If you want this sent to the Secretary of the Treasury, send it yourself. So he received payment and dishonored it, meaning payment was tendered. Payment rejected is payment that is accepted.
Correct.
And so what did you do?
Immediately had the notary resend it back, and they never sent it back to me again.
And what was in that notary package? Was that part of the uncooperative clerk package that's in my library?
At the time, I didn't have the uncooperative clerk package. I believe it was
You put together?
It was a letter rogatory that I'd gotten from you, and we sent that all back. And
all right. Well, that letter rogatory is probably the same thing. Basically, what did it say, Bob? Did it say that we'd like to give you an opportunity to disprove the assumption that you've tampered with evidence?
Yes, something to that effect.
Yeah. Now, you can't say tampered with evidence when you're sending private instruments, but if you happen to have included in that package a public filing that was sent back, that, my friends, is tampering with evidence. Who are they to doctor the files?
Correct. They sent back a petition in the nature of a motion why they were not third-party defendants.
Okay. So now they have a petition in the case. Did you follow up on that with a petition to compel performance on that petition?
I haven't yet. I plan to as soon as I get
around. All right. So you see, there are a million public and private remedies that are available. You may not have to, though, because you'll be finding out further whether the records have disappeared. Didn't the judge in this case, as I recall, issue some kind of directive to you recently?
This was back in March. On March 14th, I attended a hearing in person, in the flesh. And he, at the end of the hearing, he said, after your psych eval, you can negotiate with the prosecutor for a settlement.
That was in March. Was that before the issuance of the BIC instruments?
No, it was afterwards.
After. So how far after he received the BIC instruments?
Oh, the second time it was sent, it would have been the day prior. March 13th is when they received it.
All right. So he receives these instruments, then receives them back a second time with a notice that they're going to be charged with tampering with evidence. And the judge, the big bad judge, who says there's no such thing as admiralty, if you mention the word one more time in my court, we're going to cite you for contempt. And he might be right because you're embarrassing him in his court. He turns around and he says the following. I want you to meet with the prosecutor and bring me a stipulated settlement so I'm not holding the liability. That's what I hear in that, Bob.
Yeah, that's about it. And we did go off the record for a short time and discuss set-offs.
And what did he say? That's an interesting conversation, Bob. Everybody wants to hear that. Folks, if you're drinking a sip of Pepsi, put the can down, listen carefully. His promise is to be good.
Well, I asked to go off the record so we could just speak as normal people, and I asked him about the instruments that I tendered to him and that now the liabilities were set off and discharged. And he began to acknowledge, yes, there's a set off here. And
Folks, a judge said to my friend Bob, a BIC user, yes, there's a set off here. Right. Commerce is a figment of our imagination, isn't it?
Correct.
What else did he say, Bob?
He just said it real quick, and then he said, we're going back on the record now, and boom, we went back into the land of Oz. You know, let's...
Right. And in the land of... In Wonderland, he then said, bring me a stipulated settlement so I can get out of this thing. And now, how do we go about getting a stipulated settlement? What do you do now?
And the default and confessions and give them 10 days to respond, and when they don't, default them through the notarial protest.
That's correct. Now, did you do a treasury liquidation here?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Let me just ask you to pause there, if I may, if I can tie this up. My friends, if at all possible, we like to settle everything on the private side. We want to bring them the private settlement and let them find the colorable way to close out their books. They bought the stadium. They purchased the football players. It's their game. Let them settle how the teams work their way out of it. But if at some point you feel you have to bring in some sort of public remedy to assist them, half the time we do that, we bring in the wrong remedy and we shoot ourselves in the foot. But if you feel you have to, look at everything that Bob has set up here, all of the potential ways he has of assisting them in the settlement. You can take a copy of the private instruments, which become public funds, of course, once they accept them because they name the Secretary of the Treasury as a beneficiary, so it is public funds, and attach it to a notice of counterclaim. It literally could be a piece of paper you write notice of counterclaim on and stick it in. It could be a piece of toilet paper. To all you aficionados out there who love statutes and case law, yes, it could be a piece of toilet paper. For that matter, it could be a piece of used toilet paper. You could take that public, the private side, and bring it into the public even more creatively. We've already passed through a public portal, and the name of that portal is the Notary Public. The Notary Public takes note of the public. She is one of the two portals into the public, the other being the U.S. trustee, the Secretary of the Treasury. So the notary issues a certificate of non-performance. By the way, all the attendees at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference, all the graduates of that, take note, I am in the process of augmenting the comprehensive administrative remedy so that 10 days later when the notary issues a certificate of non-response, Bob, I want a notice of counterclaim as part of that certificate, either a separate piece of paper or right on that certificate, so that it's serving as a counterclaim because that's a public translation that they will understand. So we take the notary certificate, we attach it to a notice of counterclaim or a petition for a summary judgment based upon the pleadings, based upon the notary's administrative judgment. Attach to that an affidavit of negative averment that basically says there is no evidence of a defect in United States acceptance, better yet, in the public record certifying United States acceptance of a confession of judgment of the following, that the United States has stipulated to the value and validity of the instrument, that the United States has stipulated to being holder in due course of all liability in case number such and such, that the United States, that particular parties, you can name those parties, clerk, judge, prosecutor, whomever, have stipulated to or confessed to being the successor surety for all liability for formally attributed to defendant debtor such and such in case number such and such. You see no defect. There is no evidence of a defect. And now they have everything they need to close that case out on the public side. Does that make sense to you, Bob?
It makes perfect sense. That's how it's been working.
Good. And you may not even have to do that because ideally we can operate on the private side, and as that last email I read said, never even show up in court. In fact, in one of those two cases, one of those sons in that case received a handwritten note from the judge saying, here, the fine is such and such. Please don't show up in court. Mail it in. And, of course, they mailed in a promissory note, and that's the last they heard of it. Imagine that, the judge begging you not to show up in his courtroom. If I was that judge, I'd be begging you not to show up in my courtroom. So everything I just explained to you is really a microcosm of how the BIC process can work from beginning to end. Issuance of instruments, any one of a number of different ways of presenting the instruments, maybe with fiduciary instructions, maybe with instructions and a comprehensive administrative remedy, maybe with a notice of counterclaim, maybe with a public notice of counterclaim, maybe with a notice of waiver of benefits and privileges from the judiciary and all public privileges and on and on and on. There are no rules. The point is we make the point that the case, that the liabilities have been settled and now all liability, if they fail to ledger the account, is held by the other side. And to reinforce that, 10 days later we liquidate the dishonor through the Treasury direct process. When did you do that, Bob?
The Treasury received the liquidation package May 3rd, and like I said, on May 13th is when they had the mysterious flood. 10 days later.
Well, do you know that they even had a flood? Did you check the weather report?
All I have is a report from my mother who happens to live in that town.
And she said there was a big-time storm.
There was a bad storm.
Well, maybe the Lord came to everyone's assistance in that manner. I wouldn't want to speculate, but it'll be interesting to see the developments that happen. Clearly, they're not being aggressive about following up this case the way they were a year ago.
Oh, no. 7 months ago, they wanted to be in prison for 3 years.
And
I'm still out.
And with a little bit of God's help, this thing should work out quite nicely because they have been joined to the liability through the Secretary of the Treasury. You've done Treasury liquidation in the past. You felt without success.
Yes, in 2005, I did two Treasury liquidations on the civil matters, which were a lead up to this. And there was no promissory note issued then. It was just an acceptance of the judgments, return to the clerk, certified copies, and then send the Paulson with the bill of exchange and charge back. Actually, it was John Snow.
What did you attach to the bill of exchange to Treasury to prove that there had been a dishonor?
I just attached the judgments that were accepted and returned to the clerk. I don't believe I did a notarial protest back then.
All right. Well, that music means we're headed to a break. Bob, I'll ask you to stick with us because I promised we'd talk about Treasury liquidation, and I think this would be a real good time to get into that subject. We're going to explore Treasury liquidation in all its glory in 3 minutes after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You'll notice a coin slot. Insert.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, we've had some technical glitches tonight and previous nights. We're trying to work those bugs out, and we should over the next couple of weeks. But Isn't Republic a pleasure? The fidelity is so sweet, and the two-hour opportunity and call-in lines really makes it a pleasure and a little bit easier for us to bring forth the value of the BIC commercial remedy system. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and I appreciate you joining me tonight. The call-in number is 800-313-9443, although we're sticking with Bob for now because we're covering a lot of good territory. Folks, if you can't get enough of BIC, then please join me in Albany, New York, August 2nd through the 5th, 5 days with me and a lot of interesting people from around the world, folks just like you, as we go on this learning extravaganza. It's filling up fast. We do have space, but it is filling up remarkably fast. And if you'd like to reserve a place or to be considered to attend, because it is by invitation only, and not everyone who applies is accepted, we want to keep the meeting safe, if you know what I mean, then, and also usable for those who apply. People have to have a certain minimum level of knowledge to really be able to use the information to their advantage. Then please send off an email to robertat@hush.com. Anyway, Bob, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. Where were we?
I was telling you that back on the civil case a couple years ago, I had neglected to or didn't know to do the notarial protest and default them and merely just sent in the judgments accepted for value to the Treasury with the bill of exchange for the amount of the judgments.
That was the so-called Treasury liquidation process, but clearly it was not a liquidation process because Treasury liquidation, and if you read the traditional bill of exchange that's been used for that, Treasury liquidation is about depositing the funds that are created when a party accepts an instrument and dishonors that instrument. Since liability is an asset under public policy, we take that liability and we move it along to Treasury and say, we want you to make a deposit with that liability and charge the funds to the advantage, to the benefit of, sometimes it's the Republic, but it also could be a charity, which, by the way, is another way to use dishonor for monetization purposes. As you know, I never recommend using a bill of exchange as currency. In fact, for those who ask, and I get those emails all the time, promissory notes are dangerous and people have gone to jail. I don't know a single case like that. Stupidity sends you to jail. Ignorance sends you to jail. BOEs can have you sent to jail. But a promissory note is a two-party instrument. You and the party that you're presenting the instrument to. Now, these promissory notes are a little more complex because we actually name beneficiaries for the funds. However, the beneficiary, being Treasury, is the same as the party receiving the funds. They all work for the same corporation. But a promissory note is nothing more than a promise of future performance. And one does not need an outside authority to be able to say, I will indemnify you. I will perform in the future. Here's my promise. That's all a promissory note is. That's why it's a relatively safe instrument. But we never use bills of exchange, three-party instruments, as currency, and I've been saying that probably for 6 years now, that when bills of exchange are used, they should only be used with Treasury for liquidating previous dishonor. And we're going to have a short one-minute break, and then we will explore Treasury liquidation in all its glory. Don't go away, folks. This is Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth.